Okay, I have quite a few questions in here. To my delight, there are some English questions, which is good. So the first question, I read out a question to you first, and then we answer the question. What does namo mean? Namo. When you go to a temple, or just about half an hour ago, we were chanting namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha, namo. What does namo mean? Namo is a Sanskrit word. You know what a Sanskrit word is? Sanskrit is an ancient classical Indian language in India 3,000-4,000 years ago. Sanskrit. That language is a very systematic language that has been passed down even up to now. Almost every Ivy League universities have a Sanskrit course because it's a very systematic language passed down from India. So namo is a Sanskrit word. It spells N-A-M-O. The Chinese translated this namo into, of course, the Chinese language is namo. What does namo mean? Namo is to pay the highest respect, the very high respect to someone, to a saint, to a sage, namo. And even up to now, if you haven't been to India, you haven't traveled to India, you may not know. But if you are in India, when they greet each other, they put their palms together and they say, namaste. Namaste, that means it's a politeness now. It's almost like a common word for how are you is very politely asking how are you. So namo means paying the higher respect. But namo also has another meaning. It means taking refuge under, seeking protection under. So if you are, say, namo Buddha, it means you're seeking protection, you're seeking refuge from Buddha. Then it leads to another word. What does Buddha mean? Everybody say Buddhism. Everybody say, okay, we respect the Buddha. We say Namo Buddha. What does Buddha mean? B-U-D-D-H-A, Buddha. Buddha is also a Sanskrit word translated into Chinese is Namo, is Buddha, Fo To Fa To. Buddha means complete ultimate understanding of the truth. That's Buddha. The means the person. The person who attained the highest understanding of the truth of the universe. So it's nothing to do with, oh God, you know, this Buddha is God. No. Buddha is the person who achieved complete enlightenment, complete understanding of the universal truth. So if you believe in Buddhism, it does not mean that you just prostrate, you burn your incense, you kneel down. It's not that. Buddhism, a Buddhist is an investigator of life, a researcher of the way of life. He has to know, he has to not just blind believe in something, you have to find out what that belief is all about. Buddhism leads you to understanding of way of life, leads you to the philosophy of life, leads you to a happier life by making you understand yourself and your relationship to everybody. So it's nothing about, actually, strictly speaking, it's not just a religion. It embraces everything in the universe, everything about living. So now you know, Buddha is the person, the saint, who completely achieved at the wisest understanding of the truth. That's Buddha. So, okay, that answered this question. Next question. How old is this temple? Old enough to know better. old enough to be attractive to a lot of people. Usually, I think people usually change the word old to young now. If you ask somebody, how old are you? I'm 30 years young, not old. You know, why? Some people say, if you're old, you know more. Not necessarily. If you're a sinner, you're weak. So it does not matter how old the temple is, but I can tell you the temple is 32 years old. It's been here for 32 years. And we started with one building, just this building, and then we slowly develop and we expand and develop. We develop a garden. We bought some land just adjacent to it, and then we keep on developing. We keep on progressing, and we never have stopped for any day. Every day we are on the move. We are on the go. We're actively doing something. What do we do? I think the next question is, yeah, the temple is old enough to know better, but what does the temple do? The temple is promoting the wisest way of life of humanity. The temple is promoting enlightenment of life. The temple, it's giving a lot of advices to society, to humans, in order to liberate them from sufferings, to liberate all of us from suffering. Then, do you know what suffering is all about? Do you know that this is a world of not just temporary pleasure, is also a world of sufferings? What kind of sufferings we are confronted with? If you do not know sufferings, you do not know life. What kind of sufferings we have? Basically, we have eight sufferings that are not deniable. It's a truth. Aging is suffering. When you're getting older and older, you're approaching death. So aging is suffering. Sickness is suffering. Have you been sick before? Who hasn't been sick? Raise your hand. Who is never sick? So sickness is suffering, especially if you contracted an incurable disease. You're not only suffering physically, you're also suffering emotionally. So sickness is suffering. Aging is suffering. Sickness is suffering. What else? Death is suffering. Do you know that death is suffering? Everybody has to die. Anyone here who does not have to die, raise your hand. So that means everybody has to die. When you're always confronted with death, how can you be happy? If you know that, oh, one day I will die, how can you be happy? So aging, sickness, death, and what else? Birth is suffering. What is birth suffering? That entails a lot of explanation. Birth is suffering on the mother's side, birth is suffering on the baby's side. See, if we have to talk about Buddhism, it takes years though. The Buddha talked about Buddhism for 49 years. So if you ask something about Buddhism, it takes a long time. But suffice it to say, I can only give you very, very briefly an explanation. You have to investigate and research more into it. It's not a superstition. It's just that you don't know about it, and you haven't spent your time to know about it. Only the wise would walk that path. The ignorant would just ignore it. They would just laugh at it. Because who would prostrate? Who would do burning an incense? So, birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, death is suffering. What else? Suffering arising from departure of beloved ones is suffering. Your relative passed away, your mom and dad passed away, your brothers and sisters at young age could pass away. Well, it does not mean that only old people passed away, you know. Young people passed away too, in accidents, in sickness. So suffering arises from departure from beloved ones. Your dear mom, your dear dad, your dear auntie, whoever passed away, you're grief-stricken. You are emotionally attached to it. Don't you think that is suffering too? So, birth, aging, sickness, death, suffering arising from beloved ones, suffering arising from hated ones. Have you ever experienced that before? You live with your husband, you don't love your husband anymore, and your husband don't love the wife anymore because you have children that bind them together. They can't get a divorce, but they hate each other. People hate each other, they have to live together, you know. That is a suffering. Not just in the family, in a company. You hate your partners, you hate your colleagues because you thought they backbiting you, they pull you down, they trap you, but you still have to work with them. Your colleagues. Even in a class, as a student, there are students that you hate, the students that you love, but you have to interact with people you hate. That's also suffering. What else? I can go on. The list can go on. Suffering arising from insatiable desires. It does not matter how rich you are. You could be a multi-billionaire, but you always have desire that you cannot satisfy. You may be the richest man on earth. You may not have health. You may have health and you're rich. You may not have a healthy family. You could be living in a broken family. So there's always something that you yearn for that you cannot satisfy. Does not matter how rich you are. There was a reporter who interviewed Warren Buffett, one of the richest men on earth in the stock market. And the reporter asked, "Hey Warren, what is happiness? You are one of the richest men on earth. You must be very happy. So you have a lot of money. So money does not make people happy. So what makes people happy?" The reply is, "Peace of mind." Peace of mind will make you happy. It does not matter how much money you have. If you do not have peace of mind, you'll never be happy. I can go on and on about suffering, but if you're bored by now, you will be suffering too. You want to get up? So maybe I should stop in here. Okay? So how old is the temple? I answered that question for you already. Dear Venerable, in Buddhism, I believe after a person passed away, they would unite with their family who had passed on. That's a good question. And I know where this question comes from. You know what you're doing today? This is the last day of Auntie that you come in memory of Auntie. And why do we chant for her? But then, what's the objective of your coming? Because you still remember her. You still cherish all those old experiences you spent with her, and so lovely, and he cares so much for you, and you just feel comfortable coming here. If you don't come here, you don't feel comfortable because you have attached to the cherishing experiences of the past. The Buddhist teaching teaches us to let go. Don't let that bother you all the time. Life and death is a way of life. Death is not really the end of everything. Death is the beginning of another life. She finished in this life to start another life. Except that she may not be around you. She could be around you later. But then, there's so many things that comes to my mind when I explain this question to you. Why don't we do something like this? What happened when a person passes away? When a person passes away, within the 49 days, he or she may still be around. Her soul, her spirit may still be around. And when a person passes away, he or she, let's take a she would reincarnate into the next life. The Buddha said, time, the time horizon is not just of this life. The Buddhist perspective of time is very broad, not just of this life, of previous lives and of future life. In other words, there's a past, there's a present, there's a future. And past, present, future is not just of this life. So a person roll or reincarnate into this present life, with the previous life karma. What is karma? So you have to know more about it. Karma is an accumulation of everything you have done, you have spoken, you have thought in your previous life. And all this karma carry energy. And energy never disintegrate, you know. Even the scientists can tell you. Energy only changed form. Energy never disappeared. It can take another form. So that kind of energy, quote unquote, which we call karma, after that body passed away in previous life, that body is gone, the energy will roll into the next life. And in this life, it became your auntie. And why did it get into your family? Because she, previous life, she know you. She has some unfinished business with you. She loves someone and she may not love someone. The degree of his likeness, his fondness of you, depends on how much he's related to you in previous life. That's the reason why your auntie could love one person more than the other person. Because they all are different, you know. So she carried the karma into this life and become your auntie. And then in this life, she's doing all kinds of karma too. She's doing all kinds of karma through thought, through action, and through speech. And all this karma carry energy, and she will carry this energy if she's not enlightened. You see, Buddhism is to stop this life and death. The objective of Buddhism is just, this life and death is no good for you, you know. And we always give the example of our body as a hotel. Your body is nothing but a lease apartment or hotel. You are in this hotel in this life. In the next life, after you check out from this hotel, you roll into the next hotel. Would the hotel be a 5-star or 6-star or 2-star or bed and breakfast in next life? We don't know. It depends on what you have done in this life. So your next life may be a 2-star hotel. You are enjoying a 5-star in this life. Good. But if you have done something wrong, you've created bad karma, you roll into a 2-star hotel or 1-star hotel, which means that you suffer. So you are all changing form, but you haven't changed your essence. It's just like you check in and check out. You're changing different hotels, different life, but it's the same person who check in and check out. Nobody else can check in and check out for you. It's always the same person checking in that hotel. It's the same person to check out that hotel, but the hotels are different. Do you understand the body concept? There's a reason why your granddad and your grandmom are interested in Buddhism. It's not just blind faith. It's a very intelligent approach to way of life. So you really have to research more into it. I can't tell you everything in a sitting. It has been with mankind for 2,600 years. It passed from one generation to the next generation without diminishing. It must have its greatest influence on humanity. It has its greatest influence on different cultures of life. So research more into it. Try to understand more about it. So I haven't finished this question. I want to go on with this question. So a person dies, is not at the end of him. He rolls into the next life with his energy that he created in this life. He could be with you again. He could be born as your baby girl, as a baby boy, we don't know. Or she have other relations that she had to fulfill. She's in another world. Maybe she's back in China. She's in Africa. She's in San Francisco. We don't know. Depends on the karma she created for herself. But why do we have to do all this memorial service? Is because within the 49 days, if that person who passed away didn't let go, she's still roaming around because she didn't want to leave members of family. She cannot let go. of all the ties in her life, in this life. So she's still roaming around. So if relative members cry and grief stricken, then that enhances her unwillingness to let go. Then she'll be still roaming around. But after the 49 days, she has to leave. Within the 49 days, we call that the Bardo stage, B-A-R-D-O, the Bardo stage. You can always Google what is Bardo. The Bardo stage is within the 49 days, she's still around. She may not be around, but she still be around. When a person passes away, he reincarnate into a 6 paths of reincarnation. The 3 vicious paths, 3 non-vicious paths. One of the 3 vicious paths. He or she could go to hell as hell victim. He or she could go to be the animal realm, become an animal. And he or she could be in the ghost realm. So these are for the vicious realms. People who really committed crimes and really bad deeds, they roll with their karma into these 3 vicious realms. Could be an animal, ghost, or victims of hell. And she could also reincarnate into benevolent realms, the human realm. She could be reborn as a human again, or she could be reborn in heavens, the heaven realm. But the heavens still have a limited lifespan. So the objective is not just to go to heaven, because heaven is still have a limited lifespan, maybe millions of years, the heaven realm and the Azura's realm. So the person who passed away would carry his or her karma into the 6 realms. And within this period, if we chant for her, the chanting, all the words in the sutra, contains a lot of the Buddhist teaching that may remind her to let go. Let go, don't still roam around. And then she would reincarnate into other lives. In this case, I think Auntie would be reborn in very good places. Because if for someone who could pass away that fast, sitting without any suffering, there's almost 1 out of maybe 1 out of a million people are like that, who are just sitting in there and passed away. Some people have to spend years in the hospital bed before passing away. Oxygen. Some people could be, you know, we visit patients in hospital, and some patients have been bedridden for 3 years. Every morning it's just 1 bottle of vitamins putting inside the body. So all the patients' breakfast, lunch, and dinner is nothing but liquid. So he's sleeping in there for 3 years, and he's just dependent on the liquid for breakfast, for supper, for lunch. You know what kind of life? There's almost no quality of life, but he can't go away because he's not dead yet. You cannot push him to death. You cannot injectulate some poison into a patient to make him die. No, you cannot do that. So people suffer in hospitals, in nursing homes, as a plant body. So the way that Auntie passed away would make people postulate and suggest that she could be in a good realm. There's so much I have to tell you about Buddhism that I don't have much time to. It is sufficient to arouse your interest, get more into it. You can almost, nowadays you have the internet, you can always say, what is Buddhism? Key in more about what Buddhism is all about. And it helps you not only about life after death, it helps you in this present life to make you happier, to make your sufferings free, to reduce your mental afflictions, to reduce what? To reduce your depressive attitude, to decrease your jealousy, your hatred, your greediness. It helps you to overcome most of the mental afflictions of greediness, ignorance, jealousy, anxiety, fear, worry. All these would help you to eliminate them, ultimately. All right, that's all.